Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. Pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to look at the examples in Scripture, look at the examples in history, look at the examples in our lives of men and women who have loved and lived for you, who've been willing to spend and be spent for the gospel's sake. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their legacy, and help them to just inspire us and encourage us when we get discouraged, when we feel down, when we want to quit, that we would not faint. Thank you so much for this church, the opportunity to serve you here, and I pray that you'll bless your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 is where we find our text tonight. Last week we looked at verse 14 and 15 a little bit. Tonight we're going to pick up at verse 15 and go through verse 18, Lord willing. You remember when Jesus taught about money, you can't love God and mammon. The Pharisees had a problem with that. And when Jesus responds to their derision, he speaks to them about the law. And we're going to learn about three key elements of the law and the kingdom of God tonight. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Please bless and help us to understand it tonight, to apply it to our lives. Please help us to appreciate the law and appropriate it as we need to in our lives. Please help, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we learned about the fact that the Pharisees were covetous. This word covetous is a very unique word used only twice in the New Testament, and it literally means to be a lover of silver. So because they were lovers of silver, they heard the things Jesus said. They derided him. They hated what he had to say. This word derided is a very unique word used here and only one other place, and that's when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Those rulers of the people derided Jesus. We know that they mocked him, they scorned him, they reviled him, but they also derided him there. And so in response to their derision, Jesus teaches them. Now, some of the things that Jesus says in verses 15, 16, 17, and 18, they seem very different, like they don't go together. But I think we'll see tonight that they are all linked together in the fact that they have to do with the law. I want to remind you tonight that the law is essential. Having grown up under grace, and we're in the church age, and we know nothing but the age of grace and the age of the church, sometimes we tend to not appreciate the law like we should, but the law is essential. We have to have the law. He says of the Pharisees, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. He says that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. What does that mean? Well, when we make our own judgments, we get things wrong. We call good evil and evil good. We get things upside down. So the law is essential to show us the truth and to reveal the true nature of our hearts. The law reveals the truth and the truth of our hearts. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Listen, we can justify our sins every way a man is right in his own eyes. And unless we had the law of God to give us the truth and reveal the true nature of our heart, we would never understand the guilt that we have before God. The Pharisees, the rulers of the people, prided themselves on their keeping of the law. The problem was they elevated their traditions above the law. They ignored the law. They twisted the law, and yet they were trusting in the law. And so Jesus wasn't saying the law is no good, we don't need it, but he's saying the purpose of the law is to reveal the true nature of your hearts. God sees your hearts, and that which is highly esteemed among men, that's an abomination before God. In particular, the love of money, which we looked at last week. Not only that, but the law is essential not only to reveal our hearts, but to reach lost sinners. The law is essential to reach lost sinners. Look at verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now the Pharisees, they placed their hope in the law and the prophets, but they were blind to the fact that they were breaking the law, and they were the ones who slew the prophets. They were the ones who rejected the teachings of the truth. They were blind to the fact. They were fixated on killing Jesus, who was the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. John the Baptist ushered in the new covenant. John the Baptist made straight the paths for Messiah to come. He was the one who cut down the high and filled in the low. He was the one that was used by God to make straight paths for Jesus to come in. And he was the law and the prophets were until him. Now, every man pressed into the kingdom. Not just the religious elite have a way into the kingdom, but every person is pressing into the kingdom now. Publicans, sinners, harlots, fishermen, and physicians. Now that John the Baptist has come and made the way for Jesus, now that he's cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world," now that Jesus has stepped onto the stage and he's begun preaching, "Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," now many people, multitudes are believing the gospel, multitudes are coming to Christ. It's not just the elite, but he's opened up the gospel for everyone to come in. Now every man presses in. We see that those who had the law, that had the truth, that had the oracles of God right at hand, who should have recognized Christ first, they're resistant to the truth. They're resistant to Christ. But those who hear the gospel and understand the invitation is for them to come and believe, they are pressing in with violence. They are taking the kingdom of God with a vehement desire. They come to Jesus Christ. It concerns me a little, and I know that everybody's different how they hear the gospel. I know everybody's different how the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, and everybody's different in how they respond. There's not some formula for how you need to act when you get saved. But I'll tell you this, when you come to the face-to-face with the reality that you are a sinner, that the wrath of God abides on you, that if you die in your lost condition, you'll spend eternity in hell. When you come face to face with that reality, and then you understand the gospel, and the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you and convicting you and calling you to be saved, friends, there's nothing that should stand in your way of running to Jesus. Amen. You should press into the kingdom of God. You should run to Jesus. Amen. Because he is waiting with open arms. Amen. To receive all that come by faith. There shouldn't be any hesitation, shouldn't be any waiting. The law is essential. It reveals our hearts, and it is essential to reaching lost sinners. Number two, the law is eternal. The law is eternal. Now, a lot of people would look at verse 16. If you look at it again, verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. If he stopped at verse 16, you could almost hear people saying, so you're saying the law is no good, that the law and the prophets are just trash now, that we don't need them anymore? The law and the prophets, they no longer matter? No. So he gives us verse 17. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Amen. Yeah, the law and the prophets had a purpose. The law and the prophets were preparing the way. The law and the prophets pointed to Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all things. But does that mean that now that Christ has come, the law and the prophets are trash? Of course not. The law is eternal. The law is eternal. The law is an expression of the holiness of God. Amen. The law is a written expression of the holiness of God, and God is eternal. God is unchanging. changing. Therefore, the law is eternal, and the law is unchanging. Romans chapter 13, verses 7 through 10. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Do you get that? Read that last phrase again. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Two parts to that. First, Jesus Christ is love. And in his incredible love for mankind, he gave himself to pay the full price that is required by the law to atone for our sins, for your sin, for my sin, and it is the love of Christ that fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. Two, when we take the love of God, which he has shed abroad on our hearts through his Spirit, and we love our neighbor, that is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. Let's be honest. Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery in his heart, and there is no real love in his heart when he's lusting after somebody else. When you covet, when you want what God has given to somebody else, there's no love in your heart. When you steal from your neighbor, there's no love in your heart for your neighbor. When you would lie, when you would bear false witness against someone else, you can't do that if you love them. And so that means that when we do those things, when we break those laws, we do it out of a lack of love. But when we love, the fulfilling of the law is automatic. When we love. So it's briefly comprehended in this one saying. It's it. Love your neighbor. So are the law and the prophets null and void? Are the law and the prophets trash? Are they no good anymore? Of course not. But they were fulfilled in Christ. And they continue on in their importance, in their eternal value, because we know that love never fails. Never ends. Love abides forever. The law is essential. The law is eternal. And lastly, can I say the law is ethical? The law is ethical. Now, the Pharisees derided Jesus for his teachings on money. But now he's going to address their immorality. Now, Bible scholars and historians tell us that there were multiple rabbinical schools in that day. It's no different for us today. When you graduate high school, if you want to go to college, you got to pick a college to go to. And there are different schools that you can go to, and different schools are known for different things. We were talking about this just the other day in my family, like what schools are known for this and what schools are known for that. That school's good for this, this school's good for that. Well, there were different rabbinical schools in that day. And one of the rabbinical schools, the school of Hillel, taught that a man could divorce his wife for any reason. There was a little bit of debate about it. Because in Deuteronomy 24, when God gives the law regarding divorce, he says, when a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And so there was a debate about what that uncleanness meant. Now, some rabbinical schools taught that that uncleanness meant fornication or adultery. And they said the only cause for divorce is adultery, which we know Jesus would confirm. Buddy, still with me? Other people thought uncleanness was just whatever the fella felt like. He got tired of his wife, wanted to get a new one, so he would just divorce her for any reason. That became a very popular teaching, and knowing the hearts of men and the hearts of the Pharisees and the rulers of the people, it's not surprising that they kind of liked that teaching. You just get tired of your wife for whatever reason. I think today people call it irreconcilable differences. Just whatever reason, just divorce her and go on. So that was the idea. Now, these Pharisees prided themselves on keeping the law, but they twisted the law for their own purposes. these Pharisees were immoral and their hearts were not right, and God knew their hearts. So he had been teaching about money, but now he's going to teach about the immorality that they had in their hearts. Verse 18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Now we know Jesus had a lot to say about marriage. Would you look with me to Matthew chapter 19? Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? See, the Pharisees were always, they didn't really care about the truth. They just wanted to try to find something to accuse Jesus. Right? They already made up their mind. They thought it was okay to divorce your wife for any reason. But they thought they had Jesus trapped. If Jesus said, yes, you can divorce your wife for any reason, then they could attack him for that, for not upholding the law. And if he said no, then they could say, well, then why did Moses give a law of divorcement? You're against the law. So they thought they had him trapped no matter what. He answers and says unto them in verse 4, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And by the way, just a great Bible principle, when somebody asks you a question, it's a good idea to go back to the Bible for the answer. So Jesus points back to the beginning. God created them male and female. He made them one. They say unto him in verse 7, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Aha, we gotcha. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. From the beginning it was not so. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. It may not surprise you that the teachings of Jesus aren't very popular in the world today. And the teachings of Jesus on marriage and divorce are not very popular in churches today. The harsh truth is God hates divorce. Now anybody who's been through a divorce knows that better than anybody else. I don't think that anybody goes into a marriage covenant thinking, hey, I can't wait till we can get a divorce. Like, I understand people, like, they go into it prepared for that. You know, if it doesn't work out, people are a little bit cynical. If it doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce. But nobody goes into it hoping for a divorce. Nobody wants to see that marriage fall apart. And so we understand why God hates that. But the teaching that Jesus gives is that unless it's for the cause of fornication, adultery, breaking the marriage covenant, you don't get a divorce. We live in a disposable society today. Everything is treated as cheap, something you can throw away and just get a new one. And unfortunately, families are treated that way as well. Jesus gets back to the heart. He says it wasn't always so. What does he mean? Well, in the beginning, he put Adam and Eve together to stay together for life. The writing of divorcement didn't come until much later, till the law was given. What's the point? The point is, Jesus was bringing out their hypocrisy, where they would deride him for teaching the truth about money, while in their heart they had this wickedness concerning marriage and divorce. So many times, it's so easy for us to see what's wrong in someone else's life. So easy to see the mote in somebody else's eye. All the while we have a beam in our own eye. So what do? Ignore people's sin and ignore our own sin? No. No, repent and get the beam out of your eye so you can see clearly to help other people to live better for Jesus. It's not about judging. It's not about thinking you're better than anybody. It's about all of us working together to serve Christ more faithfully. I'll help you out tonight. Would you just look around the room? Just go ahead, look around. There's people back there for you up front. Didn't know that. Look around. Everybody see everybody? What's going on? Nobody in this church is without sin. Amen. Nobody standing on this platform is without sin. None of us. Amen. And your sin may be different than my sin, but that doesn't make my sin any better or worse than your sin. We have to keep ourselves right with Christ and help each other stay right with Christ. We can't pretend like we're all good. We can't be arrogant like the Pharisees. We can't be pharisaical and judge others. We have to be real. Have to be real. Matthew 5, 31 and 32. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. So what do we do? What do you, Pastor? I've been divorced. I've been remarried. Do I need to divorce this one and get back with the first one? What do I do? Well, you live for Jesus the very best you can where you are today. Today. You don't make things worse. You get your heart right with the Lord, and you live the best you can for Christ from where you are today. I promise you that nobody in their life is where they hope to be one day. Right? You don't wake up one day in your 40s or 50s or 70s or 80s and go, man, this is exactly where I'd hoped I'd be. Did everything exactly the way I planned. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. But we have a God who's the God of second chances times a billion. He works all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. None of us can fix yesterday, but we can live for Jesus today. One of the most important things we have to do is understand how essential God's law is, apply it and appropriate it in the right way. We use the law lawfully. What does that mean? It means that we get to the heart of the law. He is always concerned with our heart. And then we use the law lawfully to bring conviction as we witness to others so that they understand their need for a Savior. Let's stand together and get ready for a verse of invitation tonight.